Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. SeaWorld is a big part of San Antonio in Shamu. They're big orca whales. They're a big part of SeaWorld. Many of us enjoyed going to SeaWorld and watching those performances and learning about sea life there. But there is another side of those Shamu shows that we haven't been able to see up until now. There's a new documentary coming out. It's going to be coming out on Friday about the 2010 deadly incident at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida, that left Don Branchu, a popular trainer there, dead. And here's a part of a promotional trailer for that documentary.
When you look into their eyes, you know somebody is home.
They're an animal that possesses great spiritual power, not to be meddled with.
We need SO to respond for a dead person at SeaWorld. A whale has eaten one of the trainers.
Tilikumbo is the one that went after her.
Don is the senior trainer here at Shamu Stadium.
She captured what it means to be a SeaWorld trainer, that it made me realize what happened to her really could have happened to anyone.
I've been expecting somebody to be killed by Tilikum.
We weren't told much about it, other than it was trainer error.
It didn't just happen. It's not a singular event. You have to go back to understand this.
The speedboat herded them in, and they could just pick out the young ones.
This is the worst thing that I've ever done.
That is the trailer for the documentary Blackfish. SeaWorld calls Blackfish inaccurate and misleading. It says it paints a distorted picture and that it withholds key facts about SeaWorld. This is a documentary that's going to be opening on tomorrow around the country. Many people say this is going to change the way people perceive SeaWorld and the use of the orca whales as entertainment at these amusement parks. With us now to talk about the documentary, Samantha Berg. She's a former trainer at SeaWorld, and she's featured in the documentary. Samantha, are you there?
Hi, I am. Thanks for having me on the show.
And also, we want callers, if you're invited to participate, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Samantha, did you ever work with Tilikum, the whale that is featured in the documentary?
Well, I actually talk about this in the movie. I was at Shamu Stadium when Tilikum arrived from Sealand of the Pacific after he killed a trainer in 1991. So I was actually working at the stadium. I was fairly low on the totem pole. I hadn't been there for very long, so I didn't get to do direct sessions with him, but I observed a lot of training sessions with Tilikum. So I was there during the time that he was, when he first arrived at SeaWorld of Orlando.
So Tilikum is actually associated with three human deaths. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, he killed a trainer in 1991 at Sealand of the Pacific, which is in Victoria, Canada. He actually pulled her in the water and wouldn't let her get out. In 1999, a guest stayed in the park after hours. His name was Daniel Dukes, and there's no video, so we don't know exactly what happened, but the next morning he was found with his naked body draped over Tilikum's back. So nobody really knows how he got in the water, but that was the second death. And then of course, he killed Don Branto in 2010.
And that the trespasser, he died of hypothermia. He was not able to get
out. Well, that's how it was characterized. But if you see the autopsy report, there's a lot of damage that was done to his body. In fact, Tilikum actually ripped off his genitals, and he was stripped naked. And there's a lot of bumps and bruises. It's hard to determine whether those injuries happened pre or post mortem. But if you look at the autopsy report, to define that as a death from hypothermia. Of course, I'm an acupuncturist. I'm not a doctor. But if you look at the autopsy report, to say that was just hypothermia, I think is not exactly the case.
Now, there are a lot of former trainers, or several of them, who take part in the documentary. One of them is John Hardgrove, and he is outspoken. He says that these orca whales are the way that they're taken away from their mothers as calves, and the way they're treated, and obviously there's an issue here.
Yeah, well, that's one of the issues that the film brings up, and I think makes a really strong case for. Killer whales are a matriarchal society, and male whales in particular spend their entire lives with their pod. They spend about, the southern resident population off the coast of the San Juan Islands in Washington State, we know that males spend about 70% of their time, their entire lives, within a couple of body lengths of their moms. And they have really close social bonds. So to remove calves from their mothers, even after they're weaned, is like removing a 2 or 3 year old from a female human parent. It's just as damaging. And so the movie shows how Tillicum was actually taken away from his mom when he was about 2 years old, and then he was isolated, and then he was put with other whales that he didn't know, and he was, because of that, he was very low on the dominant social structure, and he got beaten up quite a bit. And so that's one of the things that potentially contributed to his behavior.
The number to call to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about the documentary Blackfish. It hits the silver screen tomorrow and takes a look at what happens at SeaWorld and this one particular fatal incident with the whale Tillicum. Let's go to the phones. Leo is on the line. Leo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me. I just want to say, you know, I've seen large parts of this documentary before. It does leave out quite a bit. You know, over the history of working with orcas or killer whales, the danger involved there is always very present as working with any animal. But as far as incidents go, it's actually really, really low. I mean, you look at killer whales as in comparison to hippos, elephants, pretty much any animal, even smaller animals like, you know, other animals that SeaWorld itself works with, like otters. You know, killer whales are actually some of the, by statistics, states, lower incident rate animals. So it's interesting that the documentary shows them as such.
So, Leo, are you a trainer? Have you worked with these animals?
No, sir. I live here in San Antonio. I've been here 8 years. I've been going to the park quite a bit. And I've actually worked in other zoological facilities around the world. And it's just a strange documentary to see when you know both sides of the story.
Do you think that you've gained a lot of understanding and appreciation for these animals by seeing them at SeaWorld that otherwise you wouldn't have?
Yeah.
I mean, have you learned a lot?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, looking at the way that trainers and AZA parks around the world use the methods that they use upper conditioning. It's a positive reinforcement. The animals are not forced to do anything. And the movie just, you know, really leads to saying that the way that they're worked with is leading to these issues. And the issue really is that they're large animals, and it's an inherent danger that everyone is aware. And if anybody claims that, you know, they weren't aware of a danger working with any animal, including, you know, vet techs working with chihuahuas and kittens, like, you know, it is a danger. There is no way that you can ever claim that working with an animal commonly referred to as a killer whale, there is an inherent danger in that every single thing that you do really, really needs to be watched out for.
Leo, thank you for your call. We appreciate your comments. Let's go back to the phones. Leslie joins us. Leslie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I saw the movie last night in Austin, Texas, and I just wanted to comment on how crazy it is that they still have Tillicum in Florida now. I said that at the end of the – sorry, spoiler alert, but they said it at the end of the movie. It's just unfathomable that they would still have this whale and still breed a whale that is psychotic.
So, I mean, is the film, I mean, we heard from our caller just a second ago saying that, of course, these animals are dangerous, but is the movie about that, or is it about the ethical treatment of these animals by taking them as calves? I mean, they don't have a choice. They don't volunteer to become SeaWorld performers. They're captured, and then they're trained to do this, but we have to consider the ethical consequences of that, right?
Exactly. That's the point, and I think the caller was what the previous caller, what he was saying is you have to look at the fact that what we know about these animals now, they swim 80 to 100 miles per day in the wild. They have these tight social bonds. They're incredibly intelligent. They live close to human lifespans. And so what we're doing to them is just morally wrong. So you can make all the arguments in the world about how people want to go see these animals. They want to see them in aquariums. But, I mean, I can tell you, despite the fact that it was my dream to swim with a killer whale, I can guarantee it wasn't the killer whale's dream to swim with me in a concrete box. So it's just what, you know, back 30, 40 years ago, what SeaWorld was doing maybe had some relevance, but at this point, I would say that it doesn't. And there's no way at this point that we can meet these animals' needs in captivity. The other thing that the caller was saying about the danger of these animals, one of the reasons that you don't see as many incidents with killer whales is just because they're in the water and people are on land. So he was referring to accidents with land animals. And, of course, when you're right up close with an animal on land, there's much more potential for danger. And so, but even having said that, there's over 100 documented accidents that you can find on the Internet, and there's plenty more that weren't reported just because they weren't recorded on a guest video camera at the park. Things that happen behind the scenes often don't get reported. So there's many more accidents that happen. And the one particular thing about Tilikum that I want to point out is that, of course, you know, people being trained to work with these animals are aware that of the potential of their danger, but Tilikum's history was never completely explained, at least when I was there, to the trainers. And so the fact that he has a tendency to pull people in, it's one thing to say that if you jump in the water with this animal that you could be killed, but the fact that just being in proximity to him that he could actually pull you in, I'm not sure that all of the trainers working with him really understood that danger and his history, that he'd pulled one person in, and we don't know what happened to the second person, how he got in the water, so there's a potential that he pulled in the second person as well.
Leslie, the caller, are you still there? Okay. Yes. So what was the reaction to the crowd when they saw the film? Do you think this is going to have widespread impact? This is going to change whether or not people will go to SeaWorld?
From the people that were in the crowd and my audience, I think, yes, that there was a lot of reaction to it. Like, there was a lot of, like, and oh, my God, kind of reactions, and it was the same for me. But I don't understand now that there are reactions of, like, kind of disrespect towards SeaWorld, what they're going to do with Tilikum. Since he is still there.
Okay, Leslie, thank you for your call. So, I mean, you know, SeaWorld is a big amusement park, big part of San Antonio. I've certainly have enjoyed going there and watching and learning about the sea life, and I think I've appreciated more from it. I mean, do you think that SeaWorld just needs to adapt a little bit of what they do?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wouldn't want to see SeaWorld close its doors down. They're a $2.2 billion company, and they have the potential to do really good things. They do great work with rehab, you know, rehabilitation. They rescue manatees. They rescue sea turtles. But I think what they just need to do is change their business model. When you think about the fact that they're exploiting these animals for entertainment, they don't need to do that anymore. They could shut down that part of their business and go into, do the entertainment like they do with the roller coasters. They could actually move into a real educational facility, and then they could be rehabbing animals. They could use the facilities that they already have built to rehab animals that come in from the wild. They have the veterinary care and the knowledge to do that. But to continue to make these animals perform in a circus environment for dead fish, it's just so outdated at this point. And I think that with enough public pressure, SeaWorld will see that, and I think that they'll be able to move their business model to something that really serves the public and is truly educational.
All right, and we'll see if that is a possibility that for SeaWorld to take up. Of course, SeaWorld did comment about the film, calling Blackfish inaccurate and misleading. It says it paints a distorted picture that withholds key facts about SeaWorld. Okay, we're going to continue The Source. We're going to take a break, go to NPR News. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to San Antonio Water System about the ongoing drought, water restrictions, the water bank, and what's in the future for water in San Antonio. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX.